This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcorton Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Touchdown Turnover, backed by Alcoa 10, Federal Credit Union, place where you belong, better rates and better service, place where you belong. 865-255-03 is our telephone number. B-Drive Waterproofing Hotline at K14. Commits to Tennessee, did that via his Twitter account yesterday evening. He is a grad transfer from Richmond, originally from maybe one of the best cities on the planet, produces tons of talent. That city is Huntsville, Alabama. Went to Lee High School, was not properly used at Lee High School, so he did not get some of the big time offers, did not go to a big time school, but he is clearly what Rick Barnes wants. But he committed yesterday. Touchdown or turnover that he challenges Jordan Bone for the starting point guard position. Touchdown turnover. He challenges him for the starting point guard position. And you know what? That's too vague. Yeah. Let me make it a little bit easier. He will start at point guard. Touchdown turnover.
I'm going turnover. I definitely think he'll challenge Jordan Bone. I see this. Obviously, this is me just kind of talking out of my mouth, but
yeah, that's usually what happens when you talk.
That is true.
It's out of your mouth.
I see what you did there. I think he's going to play the role that James Daniel played, assuming that he can come in and perform just like James Daniel did. I see him coming off the bench late in the game, or if Jordan Bone is struggling midway through the first half or in the second half, Coach Barnes would put Jordan Bone in, James Daniel in, and let Bone sit on the bench, and I see that happening again. I definitely think Lamonte Turner stays on the bench, so I don't know that Lamonte will challenge for the starting position, because I think Lamonte thrived so well in that sixth man role that I don't think you need to mess with that, and just unless he is just head and shoulders above everybody else at the guard position. So I see him playing the James Daniel role. Maybe start if you need him to, but even last year when James Daniel was clearly playing better than Jordan Bone, Jordan Bone still started the basketball game. And so for that reason, I think K-1 Ford does not start. And then on top of that, Jordan Bone's a junior. Like, he should be starting his job. He should solidify his job this offseason. He should take his game to the next level. He's a veteran. He shouldn't. His time for making underclassmen mistakes are over with. You can't continue to be inconsistent. And for that reason, I don't think Jordan Bone's going to give up his starting position.
I am going to say turnover also, for most of the reasons that Ben said. I mean, Jordan Bone needs to be the guy at this point. And I don't think he really has it locked down. I mean, he started pretty much every game this season. Like, I don't know if I even remember one that he didn't. Like, he was the man at the point as a starter, at least. He obviously, Barnes kind of runs in lines. He'll put in, like, three new guys every few minutes. But, I think that Bone stays the starter. But Quan Four watched a decent amount of his tape. And I'd be interested to see exactly where he fits in, because he's a real slasher. That seems to be his forte.
He's a guard that finishes around the basket.
Yeah,
he's from Huntsville, so I made a phone call to mm-hmm. couple of my people down in Huntsville that follow the AAU circuit that actually coaches down there. They're familiar with K14. They coached against him, and they compared him a little bit to Eric Bledsoe, ability to play guard, but get in the paint, rebound, offense rebound, defense rebound, and finish at the basket. Strong body, so he can take a hit and still get the and one. So that's kind of what you're getting. Man, I'm disappointed in you guys, man. Not because you said turnover, because I agree there, but I'm disappointed in you guys. I am, man.
In that we think that he's a point guard and he's actually a shooting guard?
No, that's not why. Because Benjamin said that Bone will be a junior, and you said that he should, you know, he needs to be the guy. But we all know that doesn't mean that you're going to play or start. It's what you do. And what that did, and what that dude did last year towards the end of the season, SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament, if Jordan Bone does that to start the season and whenever they start camp, he's going to be the guy. Yeah. I'm saying turnover because Bone proved on the court that he's the best for this basketball team running the point position.
Yes, but he has to be more consistent, and Rick Barnes said that.
Yeah, but look at how he played towards the end of the season. He had to be more consistent at the beginning, at the middle of the season. That's why you felt James Daniel getting a lot more minutes than Jordan Bone. But once Bone turned it up at the end of the season, SEC tournament, NCAA tournament, Jordan Bone, with Admiral Schofield, was our best player on the team. Grant Williams was third. Easy third towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
It was Jordan Bone and it was Admiral Schofield really taking this team and leading it and putting it on his shoulder. So I'm saying turnover because of the way Jordan Bone played in the season. Now, K14 is going to be, man, he's going to be a great addition because why did we lose against Loyola Chicago other than the fact that Sister Jean, you know, was there?
Guard play.
We shot too many damn jump shots. We shot too many jump shots. We didn't get to the line. We were not aggressive. We allowed Grant Williams to be double-teamed and the ball be taken out of his hands, and we settled for jump shots. Rather than a guy like K14 taking the pass from the double team, reversing it, catching someone, closing out long, driving to the basket, creating contact, getting a foul, going to the free throw line. We are a great free throw shooting team, getting points in that way, and then putting the team in a compromising position, putting them in foul trouble. I think that's what you're going to get with K14. He doesn't have to be the best shooter. He doesn't have to be anything else besides a great defender. Obviously, very smart, great effort, all that good stuff. But, man, adding that element of just getting to the basket, a slasher. Jordan Bone tried to do some of that, but he's just small. He's too small to take those hits in the paint. K14 will be able to take those hits, get to the free throw line. Hopefully he's a nice free throw shooter. But he's going to add a dimension to this basketball team that I'm looking forward to. Did I mention he's from Huntsville, Alabama?
You did.
He's from where?
He's from Huntsville.
The 2014 Huntsville City Classic MVP. And
he was?
For those who are from Huntsville, the Huntsville City Classic is a huge basketball tournament there in North Alabama where several teams from Alabama flock to play each other.
I mean, Tennessee might win the whole thing this year, man. You got two players from Huntsville.
It's a good sign.
That is a good
sign. You got two dudes on the team from Huntsville, man.
Can I?
Hey, it's lunchtime. The team is getting ready to eat at the cafeteria. Everyone who's not from Huntsville, you sit at this table. This is tables for only Huntsville guys. So it'd be Lamonte Turner and K14. You can't sit at this table unless you're from Huntsville, Alabama.
Can I just say I just typed in Jordan Bone on Google.
I don't know where. I have no idea. This could go so many different ways.
Oh, my goodness. Please, Lord Jesus, don't be something bad.
I discovered.
We just rolled out Swingman Plus yesterday.
I discovered that Jordan Bone is also a British, beauty blogger.
Whew.
that has like a very popular YouTube channel, has 200,000 subscribers, and is a pretty good looking lady. Jordan Bone, also a fairly good looking woman.
Oh boy,
she is indeed.
Man, I was nervous. Boy,
and she's also in a wheelchair.
You know, you just never know, man. Whew, you just never know.
I mean, you don't know what I'm bringing to the show,
especially with the last name Bone.
Yeah, I was nervous.
Yep. Whew.
Thank you, Charlie. Whew. Good thing we're not on radio yet. We'll be on there in about 3 or 4 weeks. But actually, what's today? Today's the first. So about 3 weeks.
Yeah,
3 weeks.
We're closing in.
Announcement here in about a week and a half, 2 weeks of where and when and how
and
what and all that good stuff. So
why?
We are approaching that time here in about 2 weeks or so. Man, we keep coming out with new stuff. I feel like a rapper dropping a mixtape.
We should go to the mall and
check my SoundCloud.
Yeah, we coming out with new stuff.
Go to the mall and hand out copies.
Man, we dropped a new app, new studio, dropped Swain Event Plus. We're going to drop our radio home here in about 2 weeks or so. Man, I feel like DJ from Hustle and Flow. Man.
Got to keep it fresh and clean.
Just putting it on them.
Man, I like it.
Check my mixtape. Tell your friends.
Man, shout out to 901 Memphis.
But really, dude, I mean, tell your friends. We need listeners.
865-200-5503. 8:30, we'll talk to Matt Moscona, 104.5. ESPN Baton Rouge, going around the SEC for the next few days. Next 2.5 weeks, we'll go around the SEC and pick one school per day, get an SEC football spring review, and kind of see, hey, who's the winners coming out of spring, who's starting quarterback, who are some players we need to be looking out for. Guys had success in the NFL draft. We'll talk about that. New coaches. We'll check in with a member of the media from each location in the SEC. And today we'll start with LSU. Why we start with LSU? Because Matt's easy to access. That's really the only reason.
That's your boy.
That's the only reason why he's first. Not because, you know, we're not doing alphabetical order, because that would be, what, Alabama or Arkansas or Auburn, one of the two?
It would be
Alabama.
Alabama, Arkansas,
and
Auburn.
I'm not starting with Alabama, so.
You know what? We're gonna do Alabama last.
I'm going to do Alabama on Saturday.
No, we're going to do Alabama last.
On Sunday. Saturday or Sunday, we'll do Alabama.
We can't do Alabama on the Lord's Day.
Yeah, we got to do it on Saturday.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we should do Alabama on a Monday.
No, because you want to start the week off right.
But Alabama is a perfect representation of Monday.
Well, I have a different perspective about Monday than most. I love Mondays. It's the best day of the week.
Now that I no longer have school on Mondays ever again for the rest of my life, unless I decide to go be like Charlie and get a master's degree, Mondays have now become my favorite day of the week, too.
Speaking of Monday, speaking of Charlie, you have your ring for graduating.
I do.
Charlie has 2 degrees. Charlie, where is your ring, sir? You too good to get a ring?
I got those pieces of paper, and I get to put them on a resume. And to me, that was enough. Also, rings expensive.
Fun story. So, fun fact.
You should have 2 rings.
My
2 rings.
I got a.
All right, I'm off the show.
Oh,
I'm out of here.
Lord.
Charlie, give me.
All right,
give me 2 rings.
My God bless. I got a high school ring as well. A high school graduation ring.
I got a high school ring.
My college ring was cheaper than my high school ring.
I got a high school ring specifically because I was in the very first graduating class from Hardin Valley, like the very first one ever.
So you graduated with like 3 people, like that kid from Boise State that's going to the Cowboys?
It was like a little over 200.
Wow.
Something like that.
I think I had 538 in mine.
Hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, and it was now, I mean, the class at Hardin Valley are huge. Mm-hmm. So it's grown exponentially. But yeah, that's so. I kind of wanted like a commemorative sort of, hey, this is a cool thing, and I have a memento from it forever. So, but outside of that, I mean, obviously, I was not in the first graduating class at Tennessee. So,
all right, Charlie, I just put you in a spot. I'm gonna put Brad back on the spot. Brad, I mean Ben, sorry.
How dare you?
I know.
How dare you?
I'm putting Ben on the spot now.
I'm going to call Sister Jean on you.
Go ahead. She don't want none. I got old folks in my corner, too. Ben.
Jason.
Are you going to wear your ring on your finger or on a necklace?
Finger.
Why not a necklace?
Because it's a ring. And rings are meant to be worn on your finger.
I'm just saying, man. That would be funny to see you wear a necklace with your ring on.
Why would that be funny?
Saying, I'm gonna man. See. I've never seen anyone. I've never seen a dude intimidating wear a ring, on his necklace. That's all.
Yeah. That's all. I think the conclusion of this conversation, the main point that our wonderful listeners should take away is that I have a ring, Charlie doesn't, which means clearly
you're smarter.
No, I love the University of Tennessee more than Charlie does.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Oh yeah, that's easy.
I am extremely cynical about Tennessee, and I'm highly critical of the University of Tennessee.
Really?
But you went twice. You must love Tennessee. You wanted to go back.
But the things that I say are out of love for Tennessee. Lived in Knoxville my whole life. Obviously gone to Tennessee twice. They've taken
a lot of money.
So much of my money. Like I said, what I say is out of love for the University of Tennessee, but some of the things that they do make me very angry and not want to and make me not want to support them sometimes. But it may be true.
Chancellor Auntie Beverly Davenport would be more proud of Ben than you, Charlie.
She would.
Probably because she would. Ben gave more money to the university for a ring than I did.
Yeah, because Ben has a ring and you don't. Because he clearly loves Tennessee more than you.
Well, clearly. Butch Jones had an effect on me. I figured since I was graduating, I would need a ring to celebrate. Maybe Lyle had one good impression on me. Just kidding, he did not, because he's awful and he sucks.
Only I have a picture with Auntie Davenport, so.
That's not true.
Maybe.
Do you?
That's not true. I have a picture with Auntie Davenport.
Really?
Mother, if you were listening, can you please send me that picture so I can show Swain?
I got a picture. I took the most recent picture. So she likes me more.
When did you take it?
Orange White Weekend.
I took mine Orange White Weekend while I was in the press box. In one of the suites.
During the game?
During the game.
All right, yours is more recent then. Mine was before the game.
I've only met her like in a media context, which in that sense it would be kind of weird for me to be like, hey, I'm here as working media. Can I take a picture with you? Like it would be sort of.
You don't love your university, Charlie.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Charlie just doesn't love Tennessee
do. He's not even going to watch the recruit visit tonight.
I mean, what's going on with Charlie, man?
Here's what we need to do.
I thought Charlie was in VFL, man.
I think everybody needs to send Charlie links to the video tonight.
Yes, good idea. So, when the Grayson High School football players make their commitment today, it's going to be on local television down there in Atlanta. There's going to be links, okay? There's going to be stream links of Wanyan Morris's commitment. Show Charlie how it's done, how to be a real VFL. You must send Charlie the links. You must flood his timeline with links so he can make sure he doesn't miss this joyous occasion.
Yes, I mean.
Come on, Charlie. Where's your spirit?
You need to. Fred thinks that it's just players that are VFLs. Charlie, you and I are VFLs as well. We have a degree from Indeed. Tennessee.
Come on,
we
Charlie.
Are ball for life.
Get the spirit, Charlie.
Honor by tuning into these commitments and supporting Tennessee and supporting the future. They're not just football players, Charlie. They're also future students at the University of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. We need to support them.
This will be the perfect opportunity for me to weed people out of my Twitter. You know, I'll go Dobbs on them. If you send me a link.
Why? See, I don't understand the Dobbs. I don't understand Dobbsing either.
No, I won't do that.
People,
the
man.
Mute button
I'm
is
kidding.
The best button on all of social media.
That's what I use. Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. And I'll be joined by Matt Muscone. I told him 8:30, so we'll take a quick short break and get Matt on. He got things to do, people to see. He's famous down there in Baton Rouge. He's more famous than Lil Wayne. So we have to hurry up, take a break.
Ask him about Alvin.
Hurry up, take a break, and we'll be joined by Matt Muscone coming up next.
Hour 2 of the Swain event is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. Visit PremierSurgical.com to find out about the procedures and services they offer to help you live a better life. Premier Surgical Associates. Expertise you can trust.
Your car insurance.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage. It's not available in all states.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, and Sipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's. Or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technician to see how we can get your phone working today.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
Top 100 Barbecue Restaurant Dead End Barbecue isn't just a great place to go for dinner. They have fantastic lunch specials every day. Monday through Friday, they offer great deals on different meals each day. Dead End Barbecue has the smoke and sweet meal with half-smoked chicken. A side, choice of bread and banana pudding on Monday, brisket French dip on Tuesday, salmon salad on Wednesday, Thursday is the cold smoked turkey BLT, and center cut bone-in pork chop on Friday. Not to mention, you can get a bowl of beans and smoked sausage for $6 every day. So when you are looking for somewhere to go for lunch during the week, look no further than Top 100 Barbecue Restaurant Dead End Barbecue. Check them out online at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue, your lunch search is over.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jared Castile with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jared Castile is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jared, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jared Castile a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jared Castile and Butler, Vines, and Babb fight for you. Looking for a different way to enjoy the Swain event? Then check out Swain Event TV, driven by Toyota Knoxville and ToyotaKnoxville.com. Follow the show on Periscope and Facebook Live. Don't just hear the show, see the show. That's Swain Event TV.
So, Darius Geis fell during the NFL draft, had some confrontations with some teams out here, some coaches out here, and LSU pretty much slid some things under the rug about what was going on with Darius Geis. There's only one person to blame. That is Matt Moscone, 104.5, there in Baton Rouge, ESPN. Matt, I'm blaming you, man, for Darius Geis' troubles, man. How you doing this morning?
Good, and the funny thing is, man, like, this shows you how, like, just slimy and marmy the draft process can be. Like, none of that's true. So, Howie Roseman and Geis have both come out and said, and there was no confrontation. I cover LSU every single day, the slimy underbelly and the things that do see the light of day, and there was nothing significant with Geis during his time in Baton Rouge. That's a shame, man. It cost that kid a lot of money. But he'll be fine. He's been through, he's faced more adversity in his life. He'll do just fine.
Nah, you're right about that, man. One of the surprises during the NFL draft wasn't that guy slid the way he did. It was that guy like Danny Etlin was drafted over a quarterback like Ronnie Ferguson. What the heck is going on with that? Did you do that too, man? Can I blame you for that too?
Sure. No, actually, you can't blame me for that one. Like, there's, because I was, I don't think there was anyone more surprised than me. You know, good. You know what, though, Swain? Like, good for him, man.
Yeah.
You know, he's got his name called from the, you know, the best organization in the NFL. He'll get a chance to go learn under Tom Brady, get paid to play football. I mean, I'm shocked because Danny is, he doesn't have anything, you know, physically that makes you go, wow. He doesn't have elite size. He doesn't have a great arm. He wasn't super accurate. He didn't have the best footwork. He dealt with a back injury at LSU, which actually, because the kid had back surgery, makes me even more surprised that he was picked, because normally guys with injury issues, that's a big-time red flag. I mean, you know that firsthand. It's a big-time red flag for NFL teams. So I'm stunned that Danny got picked, but my guess is that the Patriots, they only have two other quarterbacks on the roster, so Danny will probably make the practice squad. He'll, you know, he'll basically just run the opposing team's plays in a week of practice and get paid to do it and learn under Tom Brady. So good for him.
Matt, you know, when you think of LSU, especially in the last, you know, 15, 20 years, you think of, you know, championships. You think of putting tons of players in the NFL, not ever having to leave the state of Louisiana to go out and recruit. And I'm just – and I hate to throw this kid under the bus, but I got to make a point. And if I got to make a point, then somebody got to go under the bus, just the way it works. But how did LSU end up with a guy like a Danny Etlin at quarterback for 2 years and not have anyone that's better that could that can lead an offense? It's just really, really baffling. This spring, no Danny Etling. Who is going to be the guy at quarterback? Who's looking the best from everything that you've heard down there?
So all throughout spring practice, Ed Ogeron said all three guys are dead even.
Oh, my gosh.
And then,
here we go.
No, I know. And then you get to the spring game, and everyone's assuming that it's going to be the Miles Brennan coronation. Because I think everyone's just assuming Miles Brennan is, you know, he played, for those who don't know, played a little bit last year as a true freshman. He's going into his sophomore year. And Justin McMillan, the fourth-year junior, kind of managed the offense most efficiently. And so people are kind of looking at that going, wait a minute, you know, what is McMillan actually the guy? And, Swain, the thing for me is, I guess it's just varied opinions on what you want. Like, for those raving about Justin McMillan, he completed less than half his passes in the spring game. If you're going to be a timing rhythm offense, I'm going to need more than that. So I guess for me, man, the thing that's baffling is I get what Ogeron's doing, right? He's short on numbers because they only have three scholarship quarterbacks, and they did not sign one in this class. So if you're Ed, you can't afford to have any of these guys transfer. So you got to give them all at least the opportunity to feel like they're competing to win the job. But what you're doing in that instance, though, is you're robbing whoever your starter is going to be the opportunity to get reps with the first offense and develop continuity with the receivers and the offensive line because there's so much personnel turnover. So on one hand, I understand what he's doing and delaying the decision. The other hand, I think he's costing himself valuable time to get whoever the starter is going to be meaningful reps with that offense.
Matt, you're already touching on it there in terms of talking about Coach O's strategy and some of the ways he thinks. What is the general consensus among the fans and among analysts like yourself about Ogeron at this point?
Yeah, I don't know that there's a consensus. You know, I think it's very much divided. You know, when Ed got hired, the way that I kind of broke it down was you had about 20% of the or 30% of the people maybe that were all in, just gung-ho, cannonball into the deep end. They love the hire. You probably had about 50% that were cautiously optimistic. Like, hey, he seems to have changed. We know he's going to recruit. Maybe he'll hire good coordinators and delegate. You know, this could work. The Dabo Sweeney type model is what people would say. And then there were 20% like me, like, you know, what the hell did you just do? You hired Ed Orgeron? And I think what you had happen now is in the last year, you've had that middle group of 50% become increasingly uneasy with the way last season transpired, the blowout loss to Mississippi State, the loss to Troy, the loss in the bowl game where they had a lead and blew it. This was LSU's worst signing class rating-wise in 15 years. They didn't get a quarterback. They mismanaged the secondary. The offensive coordinator that Ed Orgeron hired, Matt Canada, fires after 1 year. He promoted the tight ends coach who hasn't been a coordinator in 20 years. His receivers coach hasn't coached college in 30 years. It's just all these things that seem like they were promised, they're none of them are coming to fruition. So I think that I know it's a long way of answering your question, but there isn't a consensus. I think the people that are still very pro-Ed are saying, hey, give him a chance. The people that didn't like the hire kind of feel validated, and the people in the middle are going, I'm a little uneasy right now. So it's very tenuous, man, because you look at the schedule, and it's unforgiving for LSU this year. And you see, you know, ESPN project LSU at 6 wins. Vegas has them at, you know, over under 7.5. And you realize, man, it could be a bumpy year for LSU.
LSU is losing a lot of offensive production, not only at quarterback, but at running back and at receiver. O-line was somewhat of a problem last year. Outside of quarterback, who is LSU going to need to rely on in order for them to have success this year?
You mean offensively?
Yes.
I mean, they keep saying that the receivers are the strongest position group on the team. And, look, getting off the bus, they're impressive. You know, I mean, LSU stopped recruiting guys that look like Jarvis and Odell, you know, guys that are 6 foot, you know, 190. They started recruiting guys that look like Mike Evans and Julio Jones. I mean, you look at them get off the bus and they're impressive, man. A bunch of trees that look like power forwards. But they just don't have anybody that's really produced. The one guy is Jonathan Giles, who transferred from Texas Tech. He was an 1,100-yard receiver
baller
at Tech 2 years ago. Yeah, so he's eligible this year, and they're expecting him to be their guy, you know, their number one. But that's, you know, it's such a shift for LSU when we're talking about receivers in the passing game trying to pace the offense. And in part they need that because they don't really have the bell cow. You know, they missed on Cam Akers in recruiting a couple of years ago. They didn't sign, you know, a top 100 type back this year. So they don't have that next obvious Geist, Fournette, Jeremy Hill, you know, Stephen Ridley, just going down the list of guys that have been all SEC backs at LSU over the last 20 years. They don't have the next one that's obvious. So they either need somebody unexpectedly to step up, or they're really going to need that passing game to start humming.
Matt, I think I know you, man. You know, we've hung out. You know, you bought me a steak. I think
that's a fact.
That is a fact. Even though you didn't answer my phone call yesterday, and I didn't answer yours yesterday either. We played phone tag.
Oh, you called me. We were putting my kid down to sleep, man. Then I wasn't going to call you back. It would have been like 10:30 at night in Knoxville, man. I wasn't calling you back that
late. Oh, dude, that's early, man. That's early.
All right. Well, I kept trying to be respectful. You do morning radio. You got kids. I wouldn't call you back that late.
I don't sleep, man, until like 12, 1 o'clock. So call okay. Anytime. Anyways,
good.
I think I know you. See that little conversation right there. See that little back and forth. Let's let the people know that we know each other, all right?
We do.
I know you, man. I don't think that you are a type that will just be negative and down on what LSU is doing right now just because. I think, you know, I think you just keep it real. I know you keep it real. Matt, I don't think LSU is going to be in a good position this year. They play Miami first. Auburn is the third game of the season. And then you play Louisiana Tech, and I'm not saying them because they're good at anything, but after that, Ole Miss, Florida, and Georgia, and then Mississippi State, Alabama, all back-to-back-to-back. Coach O is in some trouble, man. I mean, we don't know who the quarterback is going to be. Who's going to replace Darius Geis?
New OC.
Who's going to be the OC? You know, do you have a Mike DeBoer type, a guy that used to be a pool manager, and now he's offensive coordinator? The guy ain't been an OC in forever. You got a receiver coach that ain't been a receiver coach in 30-something years or 20 years or whatever. I mean, this is not LSU football, Matt. This is like – and I'm kind of disappointed because I want LSU to beat Alabama. But this is disappointing. All the resources at LSU that you guys have, I mean, it doesn't look good, Matt. Am I being negative, or are you thinking kind of the same thing here?
No, I mean, you're basically saying the things that I've been saying and kind of criticized for saying.
This doesn't look good.
Well, you know, Swain, look, here's the thing, man. If you want to go big picture with it, like, you know, LSU is the type of place where it's not – over the last 20 years with the run that LSU's had and the resources they have, it's not the kind of place where you learn on the job. It's just it's – which is why the Ogeron hire initially was baffling, man, because it's a guy who had zero success as a head coach running his own program. And, I mean, it's at this point it's water under the bridge because he's the coach. He's not going anywhere. And – he's got to figure it out. And all the decisions he's made with his staff and you know, some of the misses in recruiting and you know, the way he's handling the quarterbacks right now, I mean, it's he's got to hope all that works out. I mean, for what it's worth, man, like, so he promoted Steve Ensminger to OC. Steve's a bright guy, man. Like, he's a really, really brilliant offensive guy. I have no doubt in my mind at all that Steve Ensminger can call an offense. None. He can absolutely do it. And there are elements of it that look really good. The problem you have right now is the way, in my opinion, that Ed's managing his roster and the quarterbacks. Talked about it a bit ago. Pick a guy, man. Pick a guy and get him reps, because at this point, like you mentioned, you open up on a Sunday night in Arlington against Miami. Then you're home against Southeastern. Week three, you're at Auburn. If you're learning in the first month of the season, trying to figure things out, you're going to go into October potentially with three losses. I mean, that's not normal for LSU. So, yeah, I mean, I get your point, Swain, and it's not a good look, and it's hard to be super optimistic about the season because of the schedule. I mean, just consider this, right? I mean, last year, LSU's rotating cross-divisional was Tennessee. This year, Tennessee rotates off. Georgia rotates on. I mean, that's not good. You know, I think Florida is going to be better this year with Dan Mullen. You got to go to Gainesville for the second consecutive year. Now, you get to November, and you got games. We're obviously against Bama, who you haven't beaten in seven tries. You're at Arkansas. And you're at Texas A&M in the regular season finale. How much better do you think A&M's going to be in the final week of the season as opposed to the first week of the season?
It just doesn't look good. So one of my favorite stand-up comedians is Jamie Foxx. One of my favorite bits is when he is talking about Whitney Houston, and you know, this is the time where Whitney Houston was kind of denying that she was using drugs. Okay, I mean, she had lost a bunch of weight. She wasn't hitting her notes the same way they were used to hearing Whitney. And she was just telling people that she, you know, that she wasn't a crackhead. And Jamie Foxx was saying, no, you may not be a crackhead, but you just look crackish during this bit. just follow me, Matt. Just follow me.
What are you talking about?
Just follow me. Please? Just follow me here. Just follow me here. there's clues that's given to you when someone is on substance, okay? There's clues here. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, then more likely it's a duck. You have given me tons of clues here today, Matt, that suggest that LSU is not going to have the type of season that the fans down there are used to seeing. And I'm pretty sure we can identify. Tennessee fans listening right now, Ben, Charlie, myself, we can identify with you 100% on this. I'm pretty sure, Matt, that you're being called negative. I'm pretty sure that you are getting a lot of criticism because you know what good is supposed to look like. just like Tennessee fans, when we had our last two coaches, we knew something was off. Like, wait a minute, Barf's chip dip? That's not Tennessee football. Or, you know, Derek Dooley, what he was doing. We know what good looks like. We had Coach Former. We had Johnny Majors. We know what championship teams look like. And under Butch Jones and Derek Dooley, it didn't look that way. And so a lot of people that were honest and tried to be nice about it but was telling the truth, they were looked at as an outcast. They were looked at as someone who wasn't being positive, who was just stirring the pot, who just was just wanting clicks. And then the truth came out, and then people were like, okay, you were right. I'm sensing that this is going to happen with you, Matt, because we're looking at all these clues that Ed Orgeron, this job may be a little too big for him right now. And I would be the first one to admit that I was wrong, because I thought it could work. If he can get some good offensive coordinators, if he can get a good defensive coordinator and stay out the way, but he's not done that. So this is not looking good, Matt. I'm just going to give you some advice. This year,
yeah.
Just hold on to your teddy bear, man. You know, you'll get criticized, but you're telling the truth, man, because I see it too. I see exactly what you're talking about, but I've been through it. Just hold on to your teddy bear, and if, you know, you get frustrated, you know, the fans rip it on you, you can call me after 10. It's okay. We'll talk it out together.
Hey, Swain, people can say whatever they want about
Sounds
me.
Sounds kind of weird.
I'm good, and I don't own a teddy bear, but I gladly call you after 10 any night.
Hey, let's talk about Alvin Kamara, man. Who would win right now if Kamara or Drew Brees ran for mayor? And I think I stole Charlie's thunder there.
I had another question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just on the road that you're going down.
Okay, I'm sorry. Charlie, you go ahead. You go first. I'm sorry.
If it comes down to it, and obviously Tennessee is well-versed in firing coaches and firing ADs and all of these things lately.
Should know Charlie's going here.
I know Joe Oliva is a controversial figure around LSU, the athletic director, for anyone that doesn't know. What are your thoughts? Like, is he the guy that you would want to see making the decisions if it comes down to letting Orgeron go?
So Joe hired Ed, and he's not going to fire him because that would sort of be an admission that his hire was bad. So ADs that hire coaches seldom fire that coach, especially in football. And at a place like LSU, and you know this as well, being in Knoxville, like, usually an AD doesn't get to hire more than one football coach unless that coach does really great and moves on to a better spot.
Yes.
So I guess my point is, if all of this goes – like, and Joe Oliva's done a lot of really good stuff at LSU. He's elevated the non-revenue sports. He's made facilities a priority. APR has never been higher. All that stuff. And that's great. But the football hire is going to be his legacy. I mean, Ed Orgeron is Joe Oliva's legacy, so he's not going to fire the guy. They are tied together. So if it comes down to it, and they feel like a move has to be made, I mean, this is so super speculative at this point. Obviously, I mean, Ed hasn't even coached the first game of his second full season, so I don't think this is a conversation that's super pertinent right now, because you're not going to go fire a coach after year two. But I don't mind answering the question, because I get asked it a lot. But my point is, Joe's not going to fire Ed. So if anyone actually wanted there to be action on, you know, a new coach potentially, they'd have to have a new AD in place first.
Got it. Matt Moscone, 104.5, Baton Rouge. I'm totally going over the time you're supposed to have a guest on. You know, see, Matt's big time.
Who cares?
Matt's big time. I'm just a small guy radio host here, so I don't do the whole 10-15 minute deal. And we're gonna have you on for a whole damn half hour, okay? Because it's fun to talk to you about sports, okay, Matt? So
good.
Alvin Kamara, before I was interrupted by Charlie, I'm just kidding. Who right now? Because I asked you this question before Alvin Kamara played a snap at in the NFL for the Saints. I ask you again, if Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara is running for mayor in New Orleans, who wins today?
Swain, Drew Brees could win the presidency if it were an election in New Orleans. They might make Drew Brees like the Archbishop of the Diocese of New Orleans, even if he's not Catholic.
Would they rename New Orleans?
They if Drew Brees asked, they might rename New Orleans New Breezes, something like that. Like, that wouldn't shock me. It's not looking. That's not in any way to downplay Kamara's popularity.
No,
but Drew Brees in this state and certainly in New Orleans is, if he is not the most popular athlete in the history of the city, I mean, you'd have to put forth one hell of an argument to convince me of someone else. So
yeah,
Brees would win over fill in the blank. It doesn't matter who.
Yeah, got it. All right, so rookie season completed. Alvin Kamara entering his second season. There's going to be a lot of expectations. I don't know how you outdo that unbelievable rookie season, being a third-round pick. He is our GM. He's one of the few bright spots right now that's in the NFL from Tennessee. In recent years, of course, we have Eric Berry and several others that represent Tennessee in a fantastic way. But in recent years, he's one of our few GMs there, him and Derek Barnett. Alvin Kamara entering his second year. What are some fair expectations for him and this Saints team that lost kind of on the last second touchdown to the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs? What's the fair expectations?
Everybody here is talking Super Bowl, and it makes sense considering what you just said. You were right there on the cusp a year ago. I mean, it literally took one of the most improbable plays in NFL playoff history to prevent the Saints from going to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And the Saints played an awful game against Minnesota and still were right there to win it. So the expectation here is Super Bowl. I mean, but look what they did in the draft. I mean, they traded up 13 spots to go get a pass rusher because they felt like that was one spot where they needed a freakish guy that could put him over the top.
He is.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the expectation for the team. And they're going all in to try to get a Super Bowl before Drew rides off into the sunset. I would say it's very similar, Swain, to what Denver did with Peyton, where they knew, man, you got a very short time with this guy to try to win a Super Bowl. And remember, they went and got Aqib Talib. They went and got DeMarcus Ware. I mean, they went all in with Peyton to give him everything he needed to go win a Super Bowl, and they did.
Yeah.
And so they've struggled a little bit post-Peyton, but I don't think anybody's crying. I mean, they won a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So I think New Orleans is in a very similar situation where they're going all in right now to win another Super Bowl in the next year or two with Drew before they decide what's next.
All right, this really is the last question, man. I'm totally serious here. Last question. Where do you see the win total for LSU being? I know it's May, but you've watched this team. You've watched how they handled their business. You've seen how it's supposed to look with previous coaches who were very successful, Les Miles, Nick Saban. You look at the schedule. You see, kind of what's coming back. With opposing teams, kind of what's a fair number of wins for this LSU team, today as you look at it?
And you, having played, it's absurd to try to make a win-loss prediction in May, but it's radio and it's what we do, so I'll make a prediction.
Yeah.
I look at five games. I look at Miami, at Auburn, at Florida, Georgia, Bama. I look at those five and go, LSU's going to be an underdog in all five of those. So they're probably I think they're going to win one of those. They got enough talent on a given day. You put it together, you execute your game plan, the other team has an off day, they got the runs or something like that. You're going to win one of those games, in my opinion. The flip side of that is you're going to have an off day and be it Ole Miss, Mississippi State, at Arkansas, at A&M, like one of those where you're probably going to be favored, you're going to falter.
Yeah, you'll have the runs.
So, yeah. Like LSU last year going to Mississippi State and losing by 30.
Yeah.
I mean, like literally the worst loss for LSU in the history of that series. Days like that happen, and I think that's probably how it goes for LSU. If you made me pick, I go 7-5, and I think they have one really nice win, be it Miami, Auburn, Georgia, Bama, Florida. Like, they have one really nice win, and then they're going to have a head-scratching loss, and then the rest is just going to be a lot of frustration where you just get beat by a better team.
Yeah, 7 wins in Baton Rouge is not gonna work. So my invitation is open. You could call me anytime after 10. and we can talk this stuff out, man. And I'm gonna call you today, actually. And we'll connect. But Matt, for those that are listening, from Louisiana, you want to catch up on what's going on at LSU? Maybe they just like you, Matt. Maybe you're just an awesome guy. They want to hear you more. How can they do that?
Yeah, did you find me on – just go find me on Twitter, at Matt Moscona. I'm on all social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, LinkedIn. If it's social media, I'm there. You can find me, and there's always links for my show, which is 1045ESPN.com.
And if you're nice to Matt, maybe Matt will buy you a steak. Maybe.
Unlikely, Swain. Only you did.
Hey, Matt, thanks so much for your time, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man.
You the man. Matt Moscona, 1045. There in Baton Rouge talking to LSU. Yeah.
Coach O will be fired this season.
it's not gonna look good at LSU.
They're not going to be good at the football this year.
I mean, I just know, and obviously I don't think Matt Moscona should say something like this. I think Oliva, you gotta go. I mean, it was a debacle. Now looking back with letting Les Miles go and the way all of that unfolded, now you make a bad hire. It might be time.
Yeah, Matt's in a tough position because, again, like, he knows what it's supposed to look like. I mean, he went to LSU. Mm-hmm. He experienced winning, covering LSU during the Les Miles years where they were super successful. And then they totally botched the firing of Les Miles. Like, they bring him back and they let him go. And then trying to replace a legend, you go replace – Les Miles with Ed Orgeron. And that would have worked if you'd have brought in Lane Kiffin or you brought in a great offense coordinator and let Ed be Ed. But he didn't get along with the offense coordinator. They didn't recruit like they have in the last couple of years. This schedule is brutal. Oh, boy. It's okay, Matt. It's okay, man. I'm available after 10 o'clock. We can talk it out. We can talk it out. Hour 3. Around the corner, we'll be joined by Ryan Callahan, GoVols 24/7. Talk a little recruiting. Stay with us.